You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. Taking around the world of the NFL, we're going to do game previews for week four in this next hour. A lot of games to go through, including a London game starting at 9:30 Eastern on Sunday. That will be the Saints taking on the Dolphins. Dolphins technically the home team, but as we know, that will be in London town. I don't know what the weather is going to be, George, but if I had to take a guess, it's London, probably in the 50s and raining, as it is every other time they play there. So we'll see how that goes. But just to get back to Thursday night, obviously off to a really bad start for the Bears. A couple of quick turnovers from Mike Glennon. Aaron Rodgers has four touchdowns in the game. Mike Glennon has four turnovers in the game. So really the big news to come out of it from a fantasy perspective, to those unfortunate souls who were using Mike Glennon in two QB leagues, I don't think you may not be doing that for much longer, because the Mitch Trubisky talk is hot.
It is. And like I said, this just comes down to, is he ready? Is he ready to play now? Will 11 days of practice get him on board here? Yes or no? Then they have the bye in week nine. So maybe it's, he needs another month. Then we'll play in week 10. We'll play in the second half of the season. Team-wise, it doesn't matter either way. The Bears aren't going anywhere. With Glennon, Trubisky, Jim McMahon, it just doesn't matter. All right, they're done. So they could elect just to wait. You know, the Bears need to do what's best for the Bears. And what I mean by that is, Trubisky is your long-term starter, your franchise quarterback. So if starting in week 5 makes sense, you do it. If starting in week 10 makes sense, that's what you do. If starting in week 1, 2018 makes sense, that's what you do here. They need to come to a consensus here from John Fox to the GM, everybody who's in player evaluation, what is best for this team. Will having no wide receivers hamper him, set him back? If the answer to that question alone is yes, if not having any legitimate number one or number two for that matter is going to hurt him, then I don't really have an issue with holding out until 2018 either.
Yeah, we have a poll up on at FNTSY Radio now on Twitter, and it's, when should Mitch Trubisky take over a QB for Mike Glennon? 69% of you currently say right now. Option number two is after the bye week, week 10. That's about 21%. And then 10% of you say next season. So honestly, as you just laid it out, I could probably argue all three. But if it were me, I'd understand them making the switch now because there's a little extra time to do it. But I'm almost leaning more towards after the bye week. Throw them out there after a little bit more time to figure out whatever it is they're going to figure out. And then at least have him get up to speed in this next month. But honestly, if you wanted to play him right now, I get it. A lot of the great quarterbacks have taken their lumps on really bad teams, and he would be no different, whether it's Troy Aikman or Peyton Manning or even Eli Manning, to some extent, took a lot of lumps their rookie seasons and learned on the job. So the Davante Adams hit was obviously big news. He's out of the hospital in concussion protocol. We suggested that Danny Trevathan, the hittee on that hit, will be suspended.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's not. I mean, NFL's made a big thing about these head-to-head hits. You got one. It was on prime time. I'd be shocked if he's not suspended.
Yeah, a couple of touchdowns for Jordy Nelson, one for Randall Cobb, one for Adams, and one for Jordan Howard and Kendall Wright. That wraps it up. We'll come back after the break.
Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package.
Raging on around the NFL as we take a preview, take a look at the previews of these games that are coming up tomorrow. But, George, how about a State of the Union address on your teams? How many teams are you managing this year, and how are you doing?
Well, I was able to keep it down to a nice manageable 8 teams.
That's all
right. Yeah, for me, that's good. I've been trying to make a conscious effort to do that, Mike. I think Tony Sincotta and I talked about this a few years ago. You know, when I used to play 12 to 15, 18 teams, and it's hard to keep track of them all, you know, and make the right fab and set your line. For what we have to go through Sunday mornings, you know, answering questions and working, and if, you know, God forbid there's a late inactive, then to go through all these lines, it's just difficult.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it was fair to myself. So came down to 8. And all the industry leagues I'm in, you know, the so-called expert leagues, I'm doing great. I'm at least 2-1 in every one, 3-0 in the Scott Fish Bowl. But in my home leagues, in the league I'm the commissioner in, 0-3. Another home league I'm in with some family and friends, I'm 0-2-1. So it's just funny how it works out.
Oh,
I'm getting wrecked. Yeah, for week one, Todd is a freaking Alex Smith, man. 2 quarterback league. Alex Smith went off, and I've had this is the league where it's really called Jordan Howard's going to screw George league. Because I started him the 1 week he got hurt, and I lost by a point. Last week, I didn't start him because I was worried about him. I lost by 4 points, and he had, 28 points, whatever
yeah,
it was, some silly thing. So, yeah, I sort of hate Jordan Howard right now.
I have a similar situation. One of my home leagues, I'm 0-3, and it's because, really, like, week one, I lost by a few points, but it was because Evans had the bye because of the hurricane, so I started somebody else in his place, didn't do that well. And then last week, I got chased down. I had like a 26-point lead, and I got chased down. I had Amari Cooper with a 26-point lead, and he had Cousins. And Cousins outscored Amari by 29 points, basically. So I lost that one.
How was that possible?
What do you mean?
29 points for Cousins?
Yeah, he had 30 points, didn't he, against the Raiders the other night?
I don't think so, Mike. I mean, he only threw for, 12, 3 touchdowns at most. That's 24.
Maybe my math is off. Is that right?
Yeah, there's no way he had 30 points. Not a 4 point for a touchdown. Hell, even 6 points, I don't think he had it.
Well, maybe I'll start questioning this league now.
Find out what's going on there, Mike.
Yeah, let me see. I'll check. You have me all messed up now because I'm going to go back to week 3. I'm doing it on air because this is great radio. Quick box score.
Now Mike's angry.
Yeah, he had 30.2 points.
He must have a different kind of scoring system.
365, George, and 3 touchdowns.
It's still only 26 points.
What did he run for?
Did he run for 40 yards? That seems an awful lot. I mean, do you play 6 points for a touchdown, Mike?
It's probably 6 points for a touchdown.
Oh, okay, that's probably where it would be then, yeah.
You got me all messed up. You're all up in my head. 365 and 3 touchdowns, and no, he ran for 2 yards. So it's probably 6-point touchdowns.
Must be 6 18. Points because that'd be 18. That'd be 32 points.
Yeah, so, yeah, give or take. So in any event, so, yeah, I got chased down. He had 30.2 points, Cousins, and Amari had 1.1. So, yes, I got outscored by 30 points.
That's awful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Because they were throwing the ball all game, and Cooper can't catch the ball. Well, Carr couldn't
throw
it, whatever you want to say.
I was like, all right, this is the only game that's really in question. In our one league that we're in together, the 2QB league, I just made so many stupid lineup mistakes. If I played Pierre Garçon the other day, I would have won that one or tied it. But in any event, I'm in.
The Joe Piscopo league?
Yes. My team's pretty good, but Derek Carr and Ben Roethlisberger are not the combo that I'd hoped.
It's not a bad combo for a 2QB league. I don't even know what my combo is in that league, but
they're not great right now.
I have Matt Ryan and James Winston. That's my combo in that league. I think I'm 3-0 in that league, too.
Yeah, I think
the industry leagues, I have no problem with. I just can't play in the home leagues, and I'm hearing it from all of them. So everybody's all happy. I'm playing my brother this week, too. So this wouldn't be a bad week to get my first win.
I only have 6 leagues this year for some of the reasons that you mentioned. I did expect to have 7, and one just fell apart at the end. So I ended up with 6. It helps me put in a few more DFS lineups and all that kind of stuff. But you're right. Trying to manage a lot of teams all at once becomes difficult. The waiver wires is one thing. The late inactives is another. But also, in the event that you wanted to like make a trade, it's really too time-consuming to go through all of the other teams' rosters and try to figure out the best matchups. You just kind of have to wait for the trades to come to you. That's what I found to be the difficult part. If you want to make a radical change, you can't, you know, you have a hard time doing it. So
it is, right, that is the hardest part. I mean, remember Jim Day? He used to play over 100 leagues. Like, Jim, how the hell are you keeping track of, you know, if somebody gets hurt, especially at 11:30 inactive, how do you go through 100 leagues to make sure you're, this guy's out of your lineup? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just too much. So, okay, we'll go over to London. We have the, well, I mean, not physically go over to London, but we're talking
teasing
London.
Me now.
That'd be great. Have you ever been to London?
No, I've never been outside of, actually, I guess I've been to Mexico and to the Caribbean,
Canada,
but never, I've been to Canada, Hockey guy, so, you know, got to go to Canada.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got to get
there. It's cold.
Got to get up there. Yeah,
it's
very cold. I've been to Calgary in December. And
I remember that.
Six below zero. So when people say, it's pretty cold up there. No, it's like another level. It's not pretty cold. It's the coldest place ever. It's just the coldest place ever. It's not cold. It's the coldest place you've ever heard of. This is Calgary in December. And it's colder in Edmonton, apparently. But in any event, I digress. So Saints Dolphins in London, 50.5 total, George. So a lot of points expected to be scored here. We mentioned Ajayi, banged up but playing. Snead, banged up, may not be playing. And the reality is, you said he could be limited on snaps. But at least a good landing spot for both quarterbacks here.
Yeah, we are expecting points. Please, pretty much anybody who plays against the Saints, we expect points, which is why we're so concerned about Cam Newton, right? Because he didn't do it last week. And that's why he really fell off the rankings list. But we expect points to be put here. But, you know, Jay Cutler wasn't all that great last week against the Jets either. So this is really going to be interesting there. Still, this is another one of those games, like I say, Mike, if you have a Miami Dolphin on your team and you're not starting him tomorrow, why is he on your team? I mean, are you that deep not to start Devontae Parker? Yeah, I'm assuming you're starting Landry. Julius Thomas, if you have him on your team, I don't know why he'd be a second tight end. That would be kind of silly. So, like I said, I'm starting him. Cutler, I can understand if you've had a quarterback for some reason and you like that, and you have a better starter, fine. But Cutler, I think is a play here, too. Would I start Cutler over Derek Carr? He's the guy we keep bringing up because he has the rough matchup. I probably would. You know, I would start almost anybody with that has a decent matchup over Carr tomorrow. I don't expect much from Derek Carr at all. And the Saints, the only thing I'm worried about is Snead. Like I said, that scares me. The running back situation is a disaster. I said to the caller before, I forget who it was, and I wasn't kidding. The only running back I have any kind of trust with in New Orleans right now is Kamara. He's the one that fits that offense the best. Peyton seems to like him the best. So does Drew Brees. I don't want Ingram or Adrian Peterson whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I have Mark Ingram in a couple of leagues, but it's going to be a case-by-case scenario for him. Cutler last week, 220 interception, throws a touchdown basically on the last play of the game. You're going to hope for bigger things this time around. If anything, he's consistent. He's thrown for 230 and then 220 with a touchdown in each game. So you don't get a lot, but you might get some consistency. As you mentioned, Landry, there's been a lot of... You know, there was trade talks and injury talks and all this kind of stuff. But to his credit, he's got 19 catches through two games played. So you have some opportunity there. And I think you're right. If you're not playing your Dolphins this week, when are you going to play him? I said the same thing about the Panthers last week, and that probably wasn't accurate. We'll do one more game before the break. Bills at Falcons. We mentioned earlier, pretty high point total expected here. 48.5. Not the highest, but one of the high ones. I think this is Devontae Freeman, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. You don't have to worry about those guys. But I'm rolling out Tevin Coleman in leagues where I have him, and I'm actually rolling out Mohamed Sanu in a league as well.
Yeah, Bills have played pretty good on defense, so I might want to be a little careful there. But Sanu
like
in a PPR league has been it's been pretty good. And you imagine it is a home game for Atlanta. I expect points to be put here, too. I imagine Tyrod Taylor, I think, could be a play in some leagues. Charles Clay is a play. I mean, right, he's the top 10 tight end. Taylor looks for him in the red zone, in the end zone. He doesn't have any other options there. So Charles Clay is someone I know certainly will have in my lineup tomorrow. I've got him in a couple of leagues, and I like him quite a bit. All your Falcons are going. But really, going back to Buffalo, it's only Clay and LeSean McCoy. I'm not going as far down as Zay Jones or Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, Charles Clay isn't going to be the guy that's going to be seeing 10 catches a game. But as you said, George, the the one guy we probably didn't talk about enough that might have some increased value in Buffalo is Clay. We were trying to figure out, you know, Jordan Matthews and what does this mean for McCoy as they got rid of Woods and Watkins during the offseason. But there's a lack of available options in the red zone. So Charles Clay each and every week could be a start. You know, he's touchdown dependent, but so are most tight ends. So that's the deal. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of the games after the break. We'll start with Steelers, Ravens, and go from there. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Phil Collins.
Or is this love Phil Collins?
Is this Genesis technically? I don't know.
Studio.
Yeah. So good times. Talking NFL until the top of the hour. Man, I had a thought and it just totally escaped my head. It's not good on the radio, but we'll go back to What was that old line? If a thought ever entered my head, it would die of loneliness. there you go. Pittsburgh Steelers at Baltimore Ravens. You know, George, as a Steelers fan, it was obviously a bummer to see them lose on the road. But more importantly, they have not been crisp at all. You had week one where Antonio Brown and Roethlisberger went off, and you had another good game last week, 10 for 110 and a touchdown. So no complaints on the Antonio Brown front. They figure out a way to get on the ball as much as possible, 36 targets in three games. But, you know, Le'Veon Bell not off to the start that people are hoping for. The usage is obviously fine, but he's only gotten in the end zone the one time, and Roethlisberger hasn't really looked great, even though five touchdowns and one pick. The reality is it just doesn't seem to be at the fever pitch that we wanted the Steelers to be at to start the season, the offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's not looking Pittsburgh is what they are, right? You can't play, other than Brown and Bell, you can't play anybody else on the road. That's my
crazy.
Bryant, Ben.
It doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't get it either. I think part of the play calling, I think Todd Haley he goes a little bit more conservative on the road rather than he opens it up at home. Mike, you're getting no argument from me. I don't know why. You know, maybe he thinks they're good at the win on the road without taking chances at home.
These are all veterans.
I don't know.
They're all veterans.
I agree. Listen, I get it. I agree. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, you just got lost to a Chicago team that got crushed by Green Bay.
They're terrible.
That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it either. But I think that's part of what it is. And it's been going on for years. This is not a small sample size anymore.
I know. You know? I tried to argue against it for a long time, and now I'm done. The quarterback's going to the Hall of Fame. The wide receiver's going to the Hall of Fame. The running back is in the stages of building a Hall of Fame-type career. You have a freakish other wide receiver there. Tight end, whatever. I mean, tight ends in the NFL right now are so fungible for the most part. Well, who cares if it's Jesse James or whomever else? He's been fine. But I just don't get it. The offensive line just plays the way the offensive line plays. Now, they haven't been as sharp early as I had hoped they'd be. But, you know, again, this isn't about the Steelers being terrible. It's just it's not at the level that we wanted them to be.
No, it's frustrating, but like I said, you have your Steelers, other than the two Bs, Brown and Bell, you're not starting them tomorrow. You're not starting Ben, you're not starting Bryant. Jesse James, you might start him, but I'm probably staying away from him there as well. And as for Bell, if you can buy low on him, and I've seen some offers that people are getting for Bell, I believe that he'll turn it around, but it's been a slow start. Obviously, this training camp has affected him, but I'd be willing to bank on Bell. So if you can buy low, I know no one's going to give to him for free, but I'm still willing to take on Bell.
Okay. Eli Rogers has 187 receiving yards in the past two meetings against the Ravens. So those of you in deeper leagues, you can consider it. But as George said, road game, Roethlisberger's numbers are down. I think that pulls everybody down. On the Ravens side, you talked earlier, George, about Javorius Allen versus Terrence West. So really, you only want to play Allen in a PPR scenario. And West, is it dependent on your roster construction, I would imagine?
Yeah, it's a tough one because I don't expect any points to be scored in this game. You know, Steelers and Ravens, you think those two teams, you're thinking a slobber knocker. You know, a lot of hard hitting.
42.5 over under, yes.
And I would probably take the under at that. So I don't think it's going to be that high there. So that's my issue there. I'm not seeing a lot of points being scored in this game. West is more of a safe play, and he does something to be more of a goal line guy, but he has been banged up. Yeah, I understand every running back with a pulse has value. You know, and so West does have value, and some people are going to have to start him because we just don't have enough running backs to go around here. But I'm not seeing big things come out of this game for him.
Yeah, Jeremy Maclin, Ben Watson. I mean, Flacco was obviously as bad as he could possibly be in London last week, but you got Maclin and Watson. I think Watson is a guy. I have him on a couple of rosters now, and I think it's going to be in one and out of the other kind of thing. And with Jeremy Maclin, I think, again, dependent on your options, he's probably looking in the wide receiver, late wide receiver four, really, discussion this week.
Yeah, I'm not big on Maclin either. Same thing as you. I have been two leagues, and I think one league right now he's in, one league he's out, and that could easily change the both out. I'm just not seeing a lot of points being scored in this game. I'm not seeing a lot of upside for these guys. That's the problem. Wallace is definitely out of my lineup, even though I know it's a revenge game with ex-Steeler 18 years ago. So I'm just not all that I'm not all that interested here in really any of these players on Baltimore. I think Flacco is so criminally overrated. It's just scary. I've thought that for years. It's not the guy I expect much out of game in and game out. And they laid such a complete egg in Jacksonville. They won't do the same here because this is a rivalry game. They'll be up for it. But I'm not liking what I'm seeing here. Ben Watson, PPR league, could be a play depending on who else you have at tight end. As you sort of hit thing earlier, tight end has been a sort of a disaster this year so far. Outside of Gronk, you know, Kelsey one catch last week. Olsen's on the IR. Jimmy Graham's on a milk carton. I mean, it's been kind of scary about tight end.
But, George, here's the thing I'll say about tight end. It's not just this year. This position is almost always a mess, and there's a couple of high-profile guys that have had huge seasons, but every year we go in and we're like, who's going to be, you know, if you don't draft Gronkowski or in this situation Kelsey, who's it going to be? I just wait. Unless I can get Zach Ertz at a good value, or previously Greg Olsen at a good value, and if you did that this year, you're screwed, nothing you can do, he broke his foot. This position is a mess every year, and Jake Seeley and I have both kind of been on the same page here, and he details it. If a tight end in a given week scores a touchdown, he's a tight end one, whether it's Richard Rodgers or Lance Kendricks or Jesse James or whoever. They're going to beat out all the other guys as long as they get into the end zone. It's just the nature of that position. They're red zone targets for the most part. You got a few ball control guys like Kelsey and Gronk and Ertz and even Witten, who's been good to start the season, Delaney Walker. But after that, you want Kobe Fleener or Jared Cook or Mercedes Lewis, who scored three touchdowns, or Ben Watson or Austin Hooper. Ranking them 6 to 12, it's just dart throws. They're all kind of the same.
Mercedes Lewis had three touchdowns last week, Mike. Do you realize coming into that game, the tight ends for Jacksonville had one catch, and it wasn't by Mercedes Lewis?
It's unbelievable.
So anybody who had Mercedes Lewis in their lineup last week, God bless you. What a mistake you made, and it worked out for you.
Yeah, DFS, I'm sure you hit it big. He was probably a minimum salary player.
They would give you extra cash to put him in your lineup.
Yeah. I mean, he stole touchdowns from all the other relevant fantasy players on Jacksonville. That was his biggest impact on the week. So there you go. Enough with Ravens and Steelers and me going off on tight ends. Jeremy Maclin, to go back to what I said earlier, he's 33rd. According to Fantasy Pros, which is an aggregate ranking site, he's 33rd amongst PPR wide receivers, about what I said. So let's see. We have a caller coming up here. We got Tony from Maryland. You have a couple of questions. What do you got?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question. I have Baldwin in one league. If I can plug in Tyrell Williams from the Clippers or Richardson, pick up Richardson off the waiver wire. Which one would you like? And what do you hear about Baldwin?
All right, Baldwin is, it looks like he will play, or he's trending in that direction, but this is a big gamble. And Mike and I have been discussing this pretty much all morning. That's a night game. I'm not going to chance it. I don't want to take a chance on a zero here. You have a decent option in Tyrell Williams from the Chargers, not the Clippers. So I would go there. I'm not going to go Richardson. I'm not going to go that far down my rankings list. Tyrell Williams has gotten to a slow start this year, but I think tomorrow is the game. He'll pick it up. Philadelphia can be thrown on. We saw that last week with the Giants. Eli Manning in that passing game woke up against the Eagles. I think Phillip Rivers will tomorrow as well. I have Tyrell Williams in a couple of my lineups. Don't get me wrong. If Baldwin was healthy, it would easily be Baldwin, but I'm not taking a chance on a zero. I'm putting Tyrell Williams in my lineup.
All right, Tony, do you have anything else, or is the second question about Baldwin's
health? Yeah, flex question, please.
Go ahead.
Flex question.
Go ahead.
I got Chris Johnson, Arizona, Stewart, Carolina, Breda I picked up, Terrence West, or receiver Benjamin from the Clippers. That's a half a point 12 league, half a point PPR.
All right, so Chris Johnson. I can't go Chris Johnson. He doesn't look like he has anything left there. Jonathan Stewart for Carolina against New England is interesting. He'll be touchdown dependent, but it could happen. Brait, I know all the tight ends do well against the Giants, but that's tough. Mike and I just discussed. He needs to get to the end zone to be valuable. Same thing at West. Benjamin, once again, the Chargers. That's also interesting because I think there will be a good passing game tomorrow, but I don't know if I want to go in the early. You have Tyrell Williams and Benjamin. You're double stacking San Diego Charger receivers. I don't think I'm going in that direction here. I think the safe play here, I didn't hear if this was, Mike, did you hear if this was a PPR or a standard league?
I think it was half point, I thought. But I could be wrong about that.
Cut in the middle here. The safe play is actually probably Cameron Brait against the Giants. He'll get four or five passes. They're going to throw well again because I think they'll be trailing. That Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is all beat up here. I'm actually leaning towards Brait here, but it's a gamble.
What if it was a different league? Because I wasn't sure if he ran through the same players. What is a different league and you wanted to play Travis Benjamin?
If it was a different league, I probably would go Benjamin. He'd be the high upside play here. But you have to realize there's a chance he could lay an egg, too. Number three receiver there. You don't know what's going to go on there. But he's been hot. He's been hotter than Tyrell Williams.
So there you go. Well, thanks, Tony. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the questions, and thanks for listening. And by the way, for all of you that have found us, whether it's through the Fantasy Sports Radio app or TuneIn Radio, or iHeartRadio, or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you. We appreciate it. So follow us on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio. Like the station, and I appreciate you guys finding us. It's been a cool journey here over the last year as this network has grown. With myself and George, we've done this show every Saturday since this network has been on air, and our producer has been Pete Considori as well. So we'll come back. We'll continue to talk games and take your calls if you want. 844-843-6879. We are the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Nice. Rocking it out. Got like a feeling. I got like a real 80s feel today. 80s rock. This is Def Leppard,
Def
right?
Def Leppard.
So, okay. Moving on to the games. Cincinnati Bengals at Cleveland Browns. We're going to go kind of rapid fire through a bunch of games here. So, we mentioned Myles Garrett is out, so that, you know, continue to wait on that rookie. But injuries to John Ross and Tyler Eifert. So, we got a couple of winless teams here, George. Somebody's going to come out with a win, although a tie is certainly possible. What are your thoughts here? DeShone Kizer has been an okay option here for fantasy people in QB2 leagues, whereas Andy Dalton has been downright miserable. So give me your thoughts here in this game.
It's Joe Mixon week. This is going to be Joe Mixon week. He's going to get in the end zone. He's going to get you double-digit fantasy points. I have to believe that this week. So Mixon's got it going for me. For Cleveland, Isaiah Crowell, please do something, anything. I mean, this guy we all loved back in July, and he's done absolutely zero. Duke Johnson's easily outplaying. I mean, Duke Johnson, by the way, in PPR leagues, pretty much a must-start. And that's all I have to say about that.
How about those Browns wide receivers? A lot of consternation between Rashard Higgins and Kenny Britt and all that kind of stuff.
Hence, Steve, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, okay. So you don't want to get anywhere near those guys.
We'll discuss those during bye weeks when you need fillers here, but I'm not touching Britt or Higgins. No, thank you.
Okay. AJ Green, you don't need to discuss, and really nobody else on that roster has done anything from a receiving perspective. Andy Dalton, man, I do think that the Bengals, Seahawks, and Giants are having the same issue right now. It's just offensive line plays abysmal. I know people are trying to throw Dalton under the bus, but when I watch the games, as much as I could pick on the decisions that he's making, it's not his fault. That offensive line's been really terrible for him.
Yeah, it is. That's sort of a problem throughout the NFL, Mike. I mean, so many teams have bad offensive lines. It's not a good look for the NFL. You don't have time to develop these guys anymore because there's not enough practice time during the offseason. It's what's hurting the game right now more than anything else. Bad offensive lines, you can't open up holes, can't run the ball, can't protect the quarterback, can't throw the ball, can't do either one, no offense, boring football.
Yeah, so George, as you know, I write our offensive line article for our preseason package, and it's an interesting exercise for me. But really, when it comes down to it, I'll rank them 1 to 32, and after the first 12, it gets dicey. There's about 12 offensive lines where you can see, yeah, these guys are pretty solid. After that, you start mixing and matching like between who's 14 and who's 22nd. Those teams got all kinds of issues between injuries and free agent losses. And then once it gets into the back third of that league, I think you got your fingers crossed for the most part, like the Giants did without making a move during the offseason, like the Bengals did that didn't replace really anybody that left, and the Seahawks, who spent the least amount of money on the offensive line than any other team in the league last year. Now, they paid their center, but they're still in rough shape. Russell Wilson is the type of guy that can win an MVP. He's not going to be able to do it unless they block for him. So anyway, that's the problem I see with the Bengals, despite the fact that I went on that rant. So we'll continue to see, continue to go through games. Rams at Cowboys. You got to like this one for the Cowboys, George. I know that they haven't probably been as powerful as some people would like, but I think it's a tough spot for Jared Goff. 48.5 over under. They are a 6.5-point underdog. The Rams are at Dallas. So is this the week that Zeke's going to go crazy?
Well, the Rams are letting up almost 140 yards rushing per game, too. You would think so, right? We've seen teams take advantage of this over and over again. But right now, that Cowboy offensive line is not playing like one of the best offensive lines in football either. They're having some issues there. So will this be the week that they figure it out? It's at home on the turf, so you think it's going to be better for Dallas here. I think it is LA's, I guess, breakout game. But he had over 100 yards a week one versus the Giants. It hasn't done much since. I think the better question is, will this be the week Dez Bryant becomes a wide receiver one again? And I got to tell you, I still have my doubts there. Dak Prescott looked fine, still running the ball and getting the ball to other receivers and throwing touchdowns. But getting the ball to Dez Bryant on any kind of regular basis has been an issue here, and so far it's not working.
What do you think that issue is?
I think it's been good cornerbacks. You know, he's got Janoris Jenkins, Akeem Talib, Patrick Peterson. I mean, it's been rough. Dallas has pretty much played the who's who of top cornerbacks in the NFL through the first 3 weeks. And I think they've rightfully, listen, you're not going to throw the ball and we might get picked with two out of three outcomes are bad, right? Picked off for an incompletion, so they've gone away from him.
You're going to have Rams, Packers, a bye week, and the Niners for Dez in the next month. So I think, obviously, the bye week's not great, but you got three games coming up where he can get some damage done before he goes up against Josh Norman in Washington. So the Rams, you obviously have Todd Gurley here, who's been great to start the season. A lot of touchdowns. Dallas's defensive line has been getting a lot of credit, George. So thoughts about Gurley being able to go up against that defensive line that has actually showed a pass rush. But again, no Sean Lee.
Well, we don't know for sure that no Sean Lee. We think Sean Lee is out. He hasn't practiced most of the week. He still isn't as questionable, but I don't think he plays. So, once again, with no Sean Lee, I think Todd Gurley will do okay. Now, I don't think he'll light him up, but I think he'll do okay. The Dallas defensive line has played much better than expected. DeMarcus Lawrence is having a defensive MVP-type season so far. Amazing. It's a contract year. Let's go figure that out.
Yeah, good times. Good for him. Good for his agent. All right. So that's, I think that's all we need to cover there. Obviously, you're going to have some, I think the receivers in that game outside of Dez are dependent upon roster construction. As you said, though, Watkins is cleared. So Watkins could
Watkins is a must start. He's a must. That Dallas secondary is beat up and inexperienced. Watkins is a must go.
Yeah, and I was talking more about Woods and Beasley, those types of guys that could find their way into the flex. I think Woods.
I like Woods more than Beasley. Yeah. Teams have been taking away Beasley. They realize how important Beasley is to the Cowboy offense on third down. They've been taking him away. I like Woods a hell of a lot more.
So Titans at Texans. I like this game a lot because I think it's going to determine a lot of what could happen moving forward in the AFC South. I do like the Titans on the road against the Texans. The Texans are just in a funk a little bit, but they could right the ship here. I don't think this is. I think this is a game that could be tight. I would pick the Titans personally, but it's a 44 over under, 2.5 point spread. Houston was just seconds away from beating the New England Patriots in Gillette last week, George.
Listen, I think Bill O'Brien lost that game. I mean, he made a couple of big mistakes. You can argue about goal kicking the field. Well, it's fourth and inches. All right, I get it. If you don't kick the field goal, you give Tom Brady a short field to get a field goal to win the game. All right, that's not good. But really, you're going to give Tom Brady the ball with a minute 20 left on a kickoff, and you think you're not going to win it anyway? Go for it. And then, you know, on the second to last play of the game, I mean, it was Watson completes the pass. There's 12 seconds left, and no timeout call. Tick, tick, tick. Yep. It goes down to 2 seconds. Bill O'Brien, what are you doing? You cost your team at least a play, maybe two, which, once again, you could have gotten at the tying field goal range. So I think that game is on Bill O'Brien. As for tomorrow's game, it was good to see the Tennessee offense and the Houston offense both get untracked, the passing offenses last week. Mariota looked good. Deshaun Watson looked good. DeAndre Hopkins also was a late addition to the injury report, so you got to watch his status. I think he plays tomorrow. And Tennessee, I think, is giving up something like 40 points to opposing wide receivers, fantasy points each week. So you certainly want to start Hopkins tomorrow. That's about it there. I do like Foreman, but that's really far down the list. Ryan Griffin could be a play here too, Mike, if you're stuck at tight end. He's been the hot of late. For Tennessee, I mean, it's tough to trust those receivers because you don't know which one's going to be the breakout guy each game, each week. But Rashard Matthews starts for me. Eric Decker, he might have to go in my flex as well. Murray goes over Derrick Henry.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins aims for his fifth game in a row with 7-plus catches and in 8 career meetings against the Titans, averaging 103 receiving yards per game. Moving on to the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings, we have Case Keenum here again. Bradford, they seem to try to want to say
worst bone bruise ever.
Close. Yeah, we're getting close. We're getting close. I just don't know. I picked up Case Keenum in one league in our 2QB league, just to have it there in case it continues to go, or in case it goes south on Bradford and he can't come back for a while.
It's strange. I mean, this is the worst bone bruise ever. He's going to keep him out over a month. I mean, you know, you think of a bruise, if it had been just, one little per square inch harder, would have been a broken knee? I mean, it's just strange for me that he's been out this long with this bone bruise here. So Keenan was great last week, right? He just totally destroyed Tampa Bay. But that Buccaneers defense is all banged up. But you said it earlier, the Detroit Lions defense is banged up too. So Keenan could have another solid game here. But then again, outside of 2QB leagues, are you starting him anywhere? I mean, I can't do that. But it's good news with Diggs and Thielen. Certainly Thielen. Diggs could have a problem because I think Darius Slay follows him around the field tour. That could be a tough game for Stephon Diggs. But I'm starting Adam Thielen. Might worry a little bit about Kyle Rudolph. Wasn't a big part of the game last week. So that could be an issue there. For Detroit, you know, Golden Tate, I'm not worried about. He's the slot guy. Xavier Rhodes is not following him. Marvin Jones, though, probably not going to have as good a game as we're hoping for.
I'm sorry if I missed you say, but would you say Stephon Diggs is a must-start player every week now?
No, we did talk about him. No. Is he must-start? Yes. But Stephon Diggs is probably going to have Darius Slay follow him around the field tomorrow.
Right.
So problems.
In general, you're not even debating Diggs week in, week out. You just have him in there regardless of the matchup.
Yeah, I mean, he said you could have 4 great receivers, and Diggs will be the fourth one to sit because of the bad matchup tomorrow. But in most leagues, Diggs goes.
Yeah. Golden Tate, May not be your favorite matchup going against the Vikings secondary, but Golden Tate's in there for me as well. Marvin Jones, Eric Ebron, all that kind of stuff. I think it's going to depend on your options, but Eric Ebron has proven to be a decent option early. Real quick on this one, Panthers at Patriots. The Panthers looked miserable last week against the Saints. They are 2-1, though. They're going up into Gillette. Cam Newton has been a question I've had a bunch this week. Your thoughts about Cam Newton?
Listen, my thoughts are the same they've been for a couple of years now. Don't like him. I think he's a much better fantasy quarterback than an NFL quarterback, but his accuracy is terrible. I think that shoulder is still banged up. It's still hurting him. He's certainly not getting the job done. He's not in my top 12. I don't want to start him, even against the Pats defense that is extremely vulnerable.
Yeah, it hurts Kelvin Benjamin too, unfortunately. So we'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Maybe squeeze in another game and update you on the poll. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
So, George, first things first, I wanted to wrap up on the New England thing. How about the New England wide receiver scenario? Cooks, Hogan. Cooks is in every week, obviously, at this point, as is Gronkowski. But give me some thoughts. You usually want to stay away from the running back scenario. Any thoughts about Gillislee White this week?
Well, you already stated, when it comes to the wide receivers, you're starting Cooks. Everyone else there is a gamble. Amendola, you know, what is New England score 40 points, 36 points last week, had one catch.
I know.
See, you just don't know week in and week out. You know, and Hogan had the, you know, two big touchdowns, but this week could be, he may not be part of the game plan. You just don't know. So what's the problem here? But the running backs, what are you seeing? Gillislee is purely touchdown dependent. So you're gambling. You know, tomorrow could be a good gamble. Once again, we expect points to be scored by New England against Carolina. So maybe he gets in the end zone. Maybe he doesn't. James White is better overall back. But, you know, is it going to be a Deion Lewis game? Is it going to be a throwing game? They're gambles. You know, this is why I stay away from New England as much as possible. You know, because I don't want to play this game week in and week out of trying to guess what Bill Belichick is going to do. Guess what the game plan is. Yeah, because you just don't know game in and game out. So, no. Mike, if I had my choices, I'd rather stay away from both. But, as I say at running backs, if you're breathing, you have a pulse, you're valuable, you may not have the same options as I have.
Yeah, I mean, I think George is right. When it comes to New England players after Gronk and Brady and Cooks, it's just going to depend what your options are. I do like James White as a player, but I don't know who's on your roster. And do you want to play the pass catching back up against Luke Kuechly? You know, it's not my favorite matchup. It just isn't. So, anyway, I want to ask you a question that a friend of mine, Robin, who listens to the show each and every week, Robin out of Tampa, she asks me, in a non-PPR league, would you start Alvin Kamara over DeSean Jackson?
Non-PPR. So it's standard league. Mm-hmm. DeSean Jackson, Alvin Kamara. Jackson's not going to see a lot of Janoris Jenkins. That'll be more Mike Evans. Oh, but, man, that doesn't not like it gets much easier. Jackson's going to be the definition of touchdown dependent to have a good game. But that being said, I think Tampa's going to have to throw the ball a lot tomorrow because I think the Giants, scary that sounds, I think Eli Manning's going to throw all over Tampa. They're just too banged up. Lamonte David, Ward, all out. So is Quan Alexander. That defense is hurting.
McCoy got hurt last week, even though he's going to play.
It's a mess in Tampa. It's an absolute mess in Tampa. I'm leaning towards Kamara, though. He's the safer play here. But in a standard league, his value goes down as well, and he's probably not going to get in the end zone.
I told
you,
DeSean.
It's a tough choice here.
I like DeSean over Kamara because of the reasons that you mentioned. I was surprised you actually picked Kamara after your diatribe there because I think you're leaning towards DeSean since he doesn't have the tougher matchup.
But he's going to need to hit that big play. He's not going to be he's never a volume guy. He's going to need to hit that big play. That Giants secondary is really good.
Yeah.
So it's a tough call.
Yeah, it's a close one, but I'll go with Deshaun, but close. And you would go Joe Mixon over Willie Snead. Obviously, that was our other question. So
Definitely. I think I said it's Joe Mixon day tomorrow.
Yeah. So I'll ask you to close out the show. Your suicide pool pick or eliminator pool pick, however you want to phrase it. What is your call this week?
Didn't work out well for me last week. I'll tell you that. I lost on Pittsburgh and Miami. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciated that for two teams that completely lay an egg. New England, I think, is a choice there. If you still have them available here, I think they certainly win the game. Seattle against Indianapolis. There's no way I can see the Colts being them at home tomorrow.
I agree with
that. If you need lesser, I think the Giants beat Tampa Bay. You know, so I think once again, if you want to go a little riskier, and I think Denver over Oakland as well.
Giants are risky, dude. They're 0-3. That's enough risk.
Tampa's too banged up.
All right. I think if you can pick the Monday night game, I like the Chiefs hosting Washington, but Seahawks are the bet of the week. The Packers were, actually. So we'll come back. George and I will be here next Saturday. We're on the shows tomorrow on Sunday. I'm on in the morning, George on in the afternoon. Talk to you later.